What's happening? This is 9/11 and you are tuned in to ABG Podcast. Man, y'all know how we do it. Let's get to it. So I am honored today to have the legendary coach of 34 years now at Peabody High School, 2010 National Coach of the Year by way of ESPN. That was the year he went 41-0. 2019, inducted into the Louisiana Sports Hall of Fame. 2020, he was the coach of the McDonald's High School All-American game. Fifth winningest coach throughout American high school history. And one of the newest things I heard on the plate, now you can confirm this, is in 2024, you were one of the finalists for the Naismith Hall of Fame. With some of your notables going to your classes, you have Chauncey Big Shot Billups and Vince Carter, Vince Sanity going in that class as all some of the finalists. And of course, you got the legendary coach for Wisconsin, Bo Ryan, in that too. So, how you feel, Coach? As you can see, you got a lot on your plate right now. How does it feel, man?
Well, I feel like old Louisiana boy.
Yeah.
You know, who come from humble beginnings.
Uh-huh.
And God has blessed me and placed me at Peabody High School, where it all began back in 1975.
Okay.
So I feel real good, not only for myself, but, for my family, for the school, and for the community.
All right, speaking of that, now, all the way back, now, see, people don't know, like, I know you a little bit better than most, so let's take us all the way back to the beginning of early Coach Smith. Now, is basketball really one of your favorite? What is your favorite sport, just to let people know?
Well, leaving A. Wedemark High School back in 1967, I attended an HBCU, Paul Quinn College, over in Waco, Texas. And I went over there on a baseball scholarship.
Exactly.
played 4 years there, baseball for 4 years. My senior year, I was drafted by the Cincinnati Reds, to play baseball, but that didn't work out.
No.
So I came back home to Louisiana. And over in Pinedale, I started teaching. One of my former teachers at Wedemark became principal at what we call Slocum High School. Mm-hmm. And he hired me as a math teacher.
Yeah.
So I started as a math teacher under George White. I was assistant basketball coach. Mm-hmm. So that was my beginning, other than high school basketball, into basketball. But baseball was my first love.
And don't let him downplay. Like, it's still legendary stories about Coach Smith. See, I know all of that area. I got family and boys, so I hear about the legendary games and the talent coming from way back in the day. So I had to get that in there. But just over your career, like, I just want you to speak on what does it take to sustain the excellence that, like I say, over 34 years. And when people think of programs, like, just to give people an idea, because this is a world-renowned school now of, like, when you think of the Dukes, the North Carolina, some of the blue blood, but for around Alexandria, when you know people every year are coming for that war horse, are coming for that shot at you, how do you sustain that level of excellence for as long as you have?
Well, I was blessed, to come into a program like Peabody. In 1975, when I took the job at Peabody as a math teacher and assistant basketball coach, I worked under Coach Ernest Bowman. Mm-hmm. Which was a great, excellent old guy. And not only basketball, he put academics first. Mm-hmm. So I had firsthand knowledge of knowing that the two goes together, academics and athletics.
Mm-hmm.
And in 1979, we won the school's first state championship. And we had some phenomenal athletes on that team. We had guys like Nap Johnson, Napoleon Johnson, Russell Jones.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, we had the legendary Paul Thompson.
Yep.
Paul Thompson was the first NBA player to come through Peabody. He left Peabody, signed a four-year scholarship at Tulane University.
Mm-hmm.
He was drafted by the Cleveland Cavaliers,
mm-hmm.
and he played at Cleveland for 2 years. So that kind of introduced me to the level of talent that was in Rapides Parish. So I kind of, shaped my ideas around what heights the boys could reach in Alexandria for playing basketball, and Paul Thompson was a phenomenal athlete.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how it all started. In 1975, when I got there, matter of fact, we played for a state championship. We were 33-0 and lost the championship game.
So you walked into excellence.
So I walked into excellence.
Yeah.
And then 3 years from there on, we made it to the state playoffs. We made it to either the semifinals or the finals.
Mm-hmm.
We were runner-ups a couple of years. But in 1979, we won our first state championship.
Now, okay. Now, see, you dated back to 1970. That was the year I was born. So, that's when you say your first championship. I'm like, man, that's when I touched ground. But so when you say that, and you've been doing this for so long, and you say since 1979 was the first, and I know it's hard to put in different categories because you got different eras and stuff like that, but does the grind it take to get to the championship, is does one step out more so than another, or does every time you get that, you just appreciate its own journey to get there?
That's correct. And as you're saying, and I want to say to the young coaches of today, I mean, it didn't happen overnight. Mm-hmm. I was 10 years an assistant coach at Peabody, mm-hmm. working under Ernest Bowman. And in 1985, Coach Bowman retired, and they selected me as the new head coach.
Gotcha.
And my first 2 years, it was a battle because I had to do a transformation from what Coach Bowman was doing to what I wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
So in 1985, the next 2 years, I had two losing seasons.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided to develop my own philosophy. So I went with what we call the five on, five off. And what that simply means is I changed the tempo of the game. I got 10 guys ready to play. And I put five in, and they gave me max effort for 4 minutes, and then I substituted in five more guys. So that began the Coach Smith era, mm-hmm. of basketball at Peabody. So in 1988, we made it to the state playoffs. I made my first state playoff appearance, and we lost in the semifinals.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, everything just seemed to fall in place. In 1988, we made it to the state playoffs. 1991, I won my first state championship.
Okay, that was the solo. That's when you brought... Okay.
That's my SDRI. Okay. 79, I was the assistant coach. And 91, I was the head coach. So that was my first state championship.
Okay.
So that kind of formulated the blueprint of what I needed to do to develop these guys into state champions. So, mm-hmm. 1991, I had a senior team that year,
mm-hmm.
and I had to rebuild.
Gotcha.
So, so we had a little drought there between 91 and 2000.
Mm-hmm.
But 2000, everything came together. So, in 2000, I won my second state championship.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, the championships seemed to come every 3 years. So, mm-hmm. since 2000 up to now, 2024,
mm-hmm.
I've won 8 state championships in that length of time,
man.
Between 2000 and 2004. So that's averaging 3 wins, 3 championships. A championship every 3 years. That's correct.
That's phenomenal. And for y'all that don't know, to put this in perspective, because he's a humble guy, he's not gonna say it, but we print up district champs at the beginning of the year. Like, we weren't even worried about district, but he can't say that, but I can. But look. When you have, because like I said, you have one of these programs that, like, a lot of people would think, oh, you have to recruit, because you see all these, you know, these different type of programs on TV now, and you see a lot of these big names, and you see a lot, like, you have to recruit. But when you build that level of excellency, your track record speaks for itself. And so you get a pipeline of talent. How do you get your players, because it's some level of sacrifice, because, like, for people that don't know, when you say that, that five on, five off mentality is like what I can compare it to, and you can probably say, what is it, John Chaney, the 48 minutes of hell, when he just, like, relentless. Right. Just when you call that red and that press is out there, and then you got five, that's like, right. You had my neighbors, the twins on the ball, stealing the ball, you can't get up. It's frustrating. But how do you get guys to buy in and say, I might play less time, but if I buy into the ultimate goal, eventually at the end of the season, I could be one of those ones to hold up a trophy with?
You're absolutely correct. I don't know how you remember that term, the red, but...
Coach, I'm sitting right there with him now.
That's correct.
Yeah.
And we got that from Coach Nolan Richardson at Arkansas, where he came up with the idea of 40 minutes of hell.
There you go.
That means in college, you play 2 20-minute half. So we developed that same type of philosophy at Peabody, but like you said, how do you get boys to buy in that over a long period of time?
Mm-hmm.
And I've been able to do that since 1985, all the way up until 2024.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just tradition. We mm-hmm. built tradition. Those guys come back, and they talk to the guys, and they tell them you know, what it takes in order for them to get to the next level. And as you were saying, over that period of time, I've been able to, my win one loss record, right now we're sitting at 1186, mm-hmm. which me from number five to number four in the nation.
So you moved up.
As coaches.
Okay.
But the most important thing to me is, beside winning 10 state championships, is that we've been able to put over 70 guys into college basketball.
That's amazing.
And when I say college basketball, I'm talking about division, major Division I basketball. UConn, I had Eric Haywood played at UConn with Allen, Ray Allen,
Danielle Marshall, that crew.
That's right. That is correct. That is correct. And we had those kids. And then we've also had guys to play at Alabama. Reggie Rambo played at Alabama. Marcus Simmons played at USC. Rashard Smith was a four-year starter at Rice University. So, and I say Rice University because that means you're putting out, you know, Rice University is the Harvard and Yale of the South.
Academically, yes, sir.
Went to Tulane. So you're talking about kids that are not only good basketball players, but they're academically sound.
Yeah.
So that's the thing that I'm most impressed with, is that been able to combine academics and athletics.
Okay, speaking of that, like when you named a lot of your players that went on to play to the next level, I kind of wanted to just get your opinion on the evolution of basketball, because I know you are one of the traditionalists. You always had a pure big man, whether it's Big Bobby, like you named Eric Haywood with UConn, and rest in peace there's brother Charles that played with you, and then you had Knox, Sykes, guys of that era. And so you've always had the traditional big man. Now when you look at TV, you look at the NBA and college, what do you feel about the evolution of the game, the spacing of the floor, and now your big man out there drop step, stepping a Euro, shooting threes? Like, how do you feel about the evolution of basketball and where it is now?
Well, you know, you got to change with times. And I tell my students every day in my trig class that change is good, but you want to change for the better.
Exactly.
So we've been able to do that over a period of time. As you said, I've always played with a 4-5. That means two post guys. You had a power forward and a center. The game has evolution now to either 4-out, 1-in, or 5-out. So I've been able to do that. This year on my championship team of 2024, we had a kid named Jordan Matthews. He came in the ninth grade as a center. And through his 4 years at Peabody, he's played all five positions. The 1, 2, 3, 4, and the 5. So that's how we've been able to transition from the post players to really all perimeter players. And Jordan Matthews was a key factor in us winning the state championship this year, because we were able to pull him out as a guard, and then they had a mix-match problem by trying to guard him out at the guard position. And he's very instrumental this year in us winning the state championship.
Gotcha. Because I'm not going to lie.
Right. He's 6'5", 6'6". So you got 6'5", 6'6", guys handling the basketball and shooting the perimeter jump shots.
Exactly. Because I'm not going to lie, even watching the collegiate game, I see the kid like a Baycott at North Carolina, and just combing through the league and just going back to those games, smelling the popcorn. I remember the game just being played inside out. Now, you always kept some snipers on the outside, whether it was your son, Olympus Johnson, my cousin, Foster. You had always had snipers, D-Lo, around the perimeter that could shoot the ball, but it was just played more from the inside out, creating those opportunities, versus from now, it's from the outside in, and the spacing is just, it's ridiculous. So I was just interested to get your take on that.
You're absolutely correct. It was just from the inside out. Back in those days, what you're talking about, you had guys like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. You had, all the other big Moses Malone, Shaq, Shaquille O'Neal, you know, which were the big force inside. But the game now has transitioned, you know, to LeBron James, Michael Jordan. You know, even from Michael Jordan to LeBron James, the game has changed. Michael Jordan was the dribble drive, pull-up jump shot dunk guy.
Very true.
Now, James is the catch-and-shoot guy. You know, Steph Curry, all those guys are catch-and-shoot. So the game has transitioned. But as you said, I had guys back in the day that could shoot the ball like Steph Curry, Foster Dufour.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. One of the purest shooters come through.
So back then, we didn't have the three ball, but he was able to step out on the court and make those, outside shots.
Now, and you kind of touched on this earlier, that your coaching, and I mean your teaching. Now, people don't know, a lot of coaches just, you know, they pretty much just do the sports. They might be PE, but you actually teach trigonometry, and that's a very meticulous subject to teach. So how does that translate, teaching something like as meticulous as trigonometry, to your attention to detail and preparation that it goes into being a coach in your preparation?
That's you're absolutely correct. You know, being a math teacher, and I've been a math teacher in Rapides Parish now for 53 years. And as you said, the structure in the classroom, you know, when you're teaching math, you got to teach step-by-step solutions. And it's the same thing in basketball. You got to start with the basics, the dribbling, the passing, the shooting. So, and you got to make sure that those kids master. And that's why we've been able to put over 70 guys in college, because all of our guys are able to master the three most important parts of the game. Well, four really, the dribbling, the passing, the shooting, and of course, defense. And our guys are drilled on this every day. So we've been able to put guys in schools like, you know, Connecticut, Alabama, Oklahoma State, which Markell Brown played at Oklahoma State,
yep.
And was drafted, you know, into the NBA and had a great career with the Brooklyn Nets.
Yep, I remember him playing along. I used to tune in and watch him and Marcus Smart. Marcus Smart still going at it with Memphis. Yeah, yeah. I keep up with all your boys, Coach, because I hear about them so much. You know, I even come check you out when you out here. I can't miss my school, man.
That's right. You're a historian.
Yeah, I try to keep up.
Another man that was a historian too, Brett Dupar. Hey. He talked about all the baseball. Phenomenal.
Yes. All the Peabody legacy and all that. I was grew up listening to it and hearing that's stories right. And getting educated on it. So I can't forget no error.
St. James and Donald Street and Lego Road.
Daddy used to have me at the game when they first pouring the kernels in the popcorn machine.
That's right there.
And another thing, Coach, like, what drives you now with so many accolades and so many accomplishments and just, you know, climbing to the top of basically your profession? What keeps that hunger in you? What keeps that drive burning in you?
Well, number one, I think it's just the love for students. You know, I love working with students. I never forget, I talked to Coach Nolan Richardson one time, and he said, man, you know, we get all the glory here in the college, but you all the guys, the high school coaches are the one that get these guys ready.
Truly do the mold.
So I've always, and everybody said, well, why haven't you gone on to the college level and coached? Because I just feel a passion for high school ball. I feel a passion for teaching mathematics in the classroom. And I thank God has truly blessed me to be able over a long period of time to work with young people. So the fire and the drive, like this year, the coach said, Coach, you got 9 championships. Why are we working so hard?
Yeah.
Not for me, it's for the class of 2024.
Uh-huh.
You all deserve to win a state championship. And they did. In the 4 years that they were at Peabody, they were able to walk away their senior year with a state championship.
That's amazing. That's another blessing. And I want to tell you, too, I got a chance to come in. It was for one of your games. My dad had knee surgery, so I kind of got in early. And it's just when I'm seeing you coaching, I'm seeing the same intensity that built the gym that y'all in now. I'm seeing that same fire. I'm like, man, it just brought back so many memories just sitting behind you, still hearing you bark out plays and you know, getting on players to get them revved up, just know when that button to turn. And I just want to get, because I know you're humble, like I said, but you truly have been a beacon in the community as excellence and something to look up to, especially as a black man, and the way you can tell the love that your players have for you by the way they come back and they reveal you and they talk about you even when you're not around. So I just want to applaud you for that and just say, hey, just coming from me, I applaud what you do and thank you for the community of Alexandria, Louisiana.
Thank you. I've had some great players. You know, people come up to me all the time. Who do you think was your best player? What was your best team?
Mm-hmm.
Who was your best shooter? And I tell them, I guess I have to be a little precious when it comes to the best shooter. I thought my son, Kedrick, you know, that's...
Hey, that's Ked was pulling up from Logos way back in the day.
He had to guard him. And then after Kedrick would be my grandson, Jacoby.
Yeah.
He's currently playing overseas in Egypt.
Okay.
So I think those were probably the two best scorers, although I had a lot of them. Guys, great shooters. But those guys were just pure natural shooters. I don't know where they got it from. I don't know if they got it from me or their mom. Probably from their mom.
Look, Coach, I done heard stories when guys start missing free throws. You pull up and you just go about 10 for 10 right quick to show them you still can do it. don't be so modest. But speaking of that, of your being a finalist and going into the Hall of Fame, and I know like nothing's right now, everything's not a few, but just from your aspect of all of your achievements, can you just kind of speak again of what you're saying? Coming from Alexandria, I never thought I could be able to say I know a guy that was even associated with the, you know, the Naismith Hall of Fame with Michael Jordan and names like that. So just coming from your perspective, just taking a look, a reflective look back on what you've been able to accomplish, how does that make you feel being mentioned with other legends, a legend in yourself in your own right, but how does it feel just being mentioned with some of the names you're about to be associated with?
It's great. You know, I grew up in rural Rapides Parish, in a little town called Taylor Hill, which your dad used to tease me about all the time. You know, country boy.
Uh-huh.
And being able to, you know, attend an all-black high school, an all-black college, you know, and really, if you look at it, I'm right now working at a predominantly black school. And being able to get these young men, as you say, to not have a ceiling. That is,
man,
the sky is the limit. And you work hard to get to that. And the reward is going to come at the end. So it makes me feel real good to be mentioned with those guys. And just to open up and tell you about it.
Mm-hmm.
Growing up as a young boy, I admired guys like Bill Russell.
Mm.
Everybody said, why did you like Bill Russell? Will Chamberlain was the big star. And that's true. But Bill Russell was the winner. Bill Russell won 11 out of 12 championships.
Yes, sir.
Looked at guys like, I admire guys like Willie Mays and Hank Aaron.
Mm-hmm.
Hank Aaron, everybody said, well, why do you like Hank Aaron? Willie Mays is the big star.
Mm-hmm.
But Hank Aaron was the guy that broke Babe Ruth records in home runs.
Mm-hmm.
So I just, for some reason or another, I was able to gravitate towards winners.
Yeah.
Guys who wanted to be number one. And those are the guys that I, you know, admired growing up, you know, during my era.
Mm-hmm.
In basketball, baseball, football with Jim Brown.
Mm-hmm.
I played 9 or 10 years, and he was at all time, but he only played like, they played like 10, 12 10 games. These guys playing, 16, 18
17 games. Yeah.
That's right. That's
Trailblazers.
Right. So those guys, I kind of were my idols.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I played baseball, I tried to imitate those guys.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I became a coach, I had in my mind where I wanted my players to go. I just didn't want them to be regular basketball players. I want them to be the best at their position, you know. And I tell my guys today in 2024, if I put all of this work and effort into a Markel Brown, you know, came to me from Jones Street and was able to play basketball at Peabody, won championships. Matter of fact, Markel was on one of my 41-0 teams. I had two 41-0 state championship teams.
Man, know? Yeah.
It's almost terrible. It's hard to go undefeated.
It's just
one time.
Okay. It's amazing.
And you do it twice and 41 games, that's a lot of games.
That's a lot of games.
So everybody said, well, Coach, how did you feel during those games? I said, I felt good except for the last one, because the last one was
no,
the
championship.
So you definitely can't lose that game.
No.
So I've had an amazing career.
Uh-huh.
No way I could have dreamed about being in this position. And then when they called me, a couple months ago, saying that I was a finalist for the Naismith, I told a reporter the other day, the only thing I knew about James Naismith, in the ninth grade, I had to do a report on basketball.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew that Dr. James Naismith took a peach basket, nailed up against a wall, you threw a ball, then you had to get a ladder to go in and get the ball out of it. So what he invented is nothing like what it is today.
Yes.
But it's just, it really is a humbling feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Think about my mom and dad. My mom was a church house school teacher back in the day in the 40s.
Mm-hmm.
My dad served in World War II.
Mm-hmm.
He was at the Battle of the Bulge with General George Patton.
Mm.
And I can tell you a lot of stories about that he told me about during that time. It wasn't like the World War I that you see on, you know, but he told me actually how it was.
Yeah.
But and I just use all of that to generate my energy into these young men. And I've taken them from Sonya Quarters, Main Street, Caden Village, Woodside. And these guys have been able to go on to these big universities and have success and also get degrees. So that's what I take away from my career.
That's great, Dad. And don't get it twisted. Now, you couldn't have thin skin playing for Coach Smith because he was going to see what you made of, because he know at the end of the season, we could be playing for something big, and I'm going to need to know you can take that pressure.
That's right. And I'll tell you the reason behind that, too. The reason behind that is because I wanted to get the guys to be prepared for the world, you know, life after basketball. When you go out there in the world, you're going to be tough enough to face those issues that's going to come at you. There's going to be a lot of things that's going to come at you.
Yes, sir.
And you're going to have to make split-second decisions.
Yes, sir.
Am I going to do the right thing or the wrong thing? Mm. So that's why I was kind of hard on the guys. I kind of test them. They're mentally, I wanted to know if you could handle pressure.
Mm-hmm.
How would you act under pressure? So when you get out there in the world and these pressure situations come to you, then you will be able to deal with them. So that was the reason behind the madness.
That's just random. I got you, Coach. Luke, before we wrap up, man, I want you to say, is it anything that you could tell a young coach coming up in the ranks that would even try to sniff the level of excellence that you've embarked on or your journey? Like, just what kind of advice would you give a young coach?
Well, number one is it doesn't happen overnight.
Mm-hmm.
I went through a 10-year learning period where I had to observe and learn. And then after that, I had to formulate my own philosophy. But in developing my philosophy, I always had the kids in mind.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't about me. It wasn't about winning. Once I put the program together, all of that seemed to fall in place.
Mm-hmm.
But always keep the kids first. Always develop the person first, not the basketball player, but try to develop. Because I lost some, don't get me wrong, mm-hmm. I did lose some.
Mm-hmm.
But I think overall, the majority of those guys are living successful lives. You know, and I tell them all the time, I'm not telling you just to be rich or famous, just to have a good life. You know,
yeah.
And I think most of the guys are doing that.
Yes, sir. I can attest to that because, like I grew up with some era, and if like you said, our towns are small towns. If you didn't grow up with them, you see them, when you come home and visiting all your guys, for the most part, it seemed like whatever seed, their parents and what they picked up from you through coaching and your mentorship, it's sticking. I can attest to that. Man. This dude got a lot of good testimonies walking around Alexandria around there.
Thank you so much.
But Coach Smith, I can't appreciate you enough for, making time. Because like you say, you got a busy slate ahead, man. You got a lot going on. So I just want to thank you, man, from the bottom of my heart for taking the time to drop in on the show and chat with me. And just let me catch up with a legend like yourself, man.
Well, I'm proud of you, and I'm glad you thought about old Coach, And I'm glad to be able to spend this time with you. And I'm hoping that your audience, take away something positive from this, especially the young coaches up today.
Yes, sir. And y'all know how we always ended it. Now, this is a true testament of what my show stands for. Always visualize your goals. And after that, accomplish those visualized goals. 9/11. Coach Smith. Gone.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Coach.